Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Put WFAN in your contact list. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. So talking about this, the baseball offseason as we get ready. We could talk about the Mets too. It's Senga. I really think that's a guy they need to move. I heard Evan talking about someone tipped him off to a trade. We talked about the Nimmo trade. Nimmo for Mike Trout. You in, Fleegs? Nimmo for Mike Trout. It's like another $14, $15 million a year.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but no.
I know. It's crazy. I wouldn't trade it. No, but you're not wrong. At this point, you just can't trust Trout to be healthy. When playing, he's still better than Nimmo, but you just can't trust him to play, and the money's ridiculous. And speaking about money, with MLB, they announced yesterday the new TV deal for the next 3 years that they have signed with ESPN, Netflix, and NBC. So after, you know, falling out of favor with ESPN and announcing there would be no more Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, they are back in the fold. So apparently, ESPN is going to run like the MLB TV, the MLB app. Like all those games are going to go through them. They're going to get out of market. I think I read earlier in the week that almost, I think all of the Cleveland Guardian games are going to be ESPN.
I did say there were a couple teams that have lost like their regional TV networks over the years. Yeah. MLB was handling those. ESPN will take that over.
ESPN's going to take all of that over. So like I think Cleveland is exclusive. Like their game's going to be on ESPN. So they have all the out-of-market games. If you want to sign up for the MLB package, which to me is by far, like if you're a baseball fan, it's every night. Like I think it's so much better than the Sunday ticket or, you know, YouTube now, whatever. You know, I football's great. Don't get me wrong. That football Sunday, the package, all the games, it's amazing. But the baseball package, any night you're bored, 10 o'clock, you put on a Padre game or whatever. Like, I love baseball, so that's what I do. I can't imagine living without it. Now you're going to have to go through ESPN for that. Netflix is going to get the Home Run Derby as well as opening day. And I think another game, which I think is going to be the Field of Dreams game. NBC is going to get Sunday Night Baseball as well as the Sunday lead-up game. So I guess the Sunday morning game. So all three of those networks. And then it's also getting the first round, the wild card round of the playoffs will be on NBC. So NBC gets the playoff round, the wild card playoff round, Sunday Night Baseball, and the Sunday lead-off game. ESPN gets the entire package, including a couple of teams' entire broadcasting. And Netflix gets opening day special, which this year will be the New York Yankees at the San Francisco Giants, as well as the Home Run Derby and the Field of Dreams game. And having said all of that, yeah, I think it's ESPN also in-market streaming rights for six whose games are produced by them. So the Padres, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Guardians, the Twins, and the Mariners are all going to be ESPN. The point of all this is I'm hoping you add this new TV deal for $800 million. Now, that's probably nothing compared to the TV. I know it's nothing compared to the NFL TV deals. But they just signed a new deal for the next 3 years at $800 million. They just had the most productive playoffs in forever and the most watched baseball game, which was Game 7, Blue Jays Dodgers. The most watched baseball game in 34 years. They just signed a brand spanking new $800 million per year deal. $800 million per year, 3 year deal with ESPN, NBC, Netflix. You can't blow this. Baseball is building momentum. Baseball is hot right now. Baseball is becoming a global game. Baseball is building momentum after years of feeling like it was losing momentum. Cam Newton talking about how the WNBA is going to surpass it. Now, I never agreed with that opinion, but the idea that Cam Newton could even have it spoke to an issue. We know that they don't do a great job of promoting their superstars, and nobody knows who Mike Trout is. And that's changed. Everybody knows who Shohei Ohtani is. Everybody knows who Aaron Judge is. Even out on the West Coast, people claim there's some sort of bias and he didn't win the MVP. Kyle Raleigh is in commercials. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. These are recognizable faces throughout the country, throughout the world. They're making $800 million a year. They just signed the brand new deal. Do they want that second year of the deal to not exist? There has got to be a way to prevent what we all think is coming in the end of next year. They cannot lose games. They certainly cannot lose a season. They cannot lose a World Series. Like, it just can't happen right now. Things are going extremely well for baseball. They cannot blow this. It would be, and I'm telling you right now, I think the World Baseball Classic is going to be big this year. I think it's going to be big this year. No matter what Sal Licata says, which is, that was probably my favorite run of Sal, the whole worthless baseball classic, and he had the sweatshirts made up. This is going to be my first World Baseball Classic, doing it here in the overnights and the first full-time host. But, I mean, you can't blow this. Rob Manfred, like, has had a lot of issues, all right? And I know he doesn't do a lot of things that people agree with in the game. And they also announced something that I don't know how I feel about with PitchCom. I understand PitchCom, but I don't know. How many times is PitchCom broken? Like, I know this is like a silly thing to get mad about, but they just signed a six-year deal with PitchCom. I feel like at least two, three times a game, a pitcher is like, huh? No, not working. And they got to go to the mound. It feels like three, four times a game. And they're going to be introducing this year the challenge system for the automatic balls and strikes. They're coming off an incredible playoff run. The Dodgers are a super team. The game is starting to get played more to the way the fans liked. I think a lot of fans rallied around what the Blue Jays did and the way they played the game and the contact they played the game with and those great playoff series, a Game 7 in the ALCS, a Game 7 in the World Series.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Aaron Judge is a superstar that is globally recognized. He's won his third MVP. They've got two premier superstars in both leagues. They're making money hand over fist. They just signed a brand new $800 million per year deal. Like, things are as good inside the game of baseball and the economics of baseball. They're signing crazy contracts. Soto just got $765 million. The world went crazy when Ohtani signed $700. The next year, they got $765. The money is going up and up. They cannot afford to screw this up. They have to build on this. They've got to find a way to figure out whatever the problems are. And it sounds like, I don't know what to make of the Pittsburgh Pirates suddenly being, you know, offering $80 million to Josh Naylor, or being involved in some of the higher priced free agents, being involved in, this is one of those names that, for some reason, as great as a power hitter as this dude is, he's one of the names that just escaped me. Andujar is one of them. Mitchell Robinson is one of them. And so is the left-handed power hitter from the Philadelphia Phillies that I can't say his name, and Figs isn't helping me.
You can't possibly be talking about Schwarber,
I'm
right?
Talking about Kyle Schwarber. Thank you very much. Losing my mind.
I feel like I have heard you say his name. That's why I didn't think it could
be him.
No,
he's one of them. He's one of them that, for some reason, I cannot say Schwarber. I don't know what happens to my brain. Lack of sleep or whatever. Schwarber's one of those names that just doesn't come
to me
sometimes.
Now I really hope he signs with the Mets.
Besides with the Mets, I'm hoping eventually I'll get it. But then again, Mitchell Robinson is another one. For some reason, I can't come up with Mitch's name. I've been better about that. I've worked on it. I got to work on Kyle Schwarber.
And the guy who hits home runs, the guy who can't hit free throws.
Yeah, that could be it. I don't know what to make about the Pittsburgh Pirates being on Kyle Schwarber. Like, I don't know. Like, they've been the de facto team that you point to and go, disgrace! And they're one of the teams that you're pointing to, billionaire owner, like, he's the reason. He's the problem with baseball, not the Dodgers. And how are they going to work this thing out? And how do they? Because, you know, not only are owners like the Yankees and other teams who, you know, the Phillies and teams that will spend money to a level, not only are they pissed at what the Dodgers are doing, but they're pissed at what the Pirates are doing. And it feels just as much as a battle inside ownership as it does with the players. And that's part of the reason why it really feels like a big fight's coming, because it feels like the owners aren't even sure exactly what they want necessarily. I mean, I guess they want a cap, they want a floor, they want a ceiling. The rich owners want a floor, the cheaper owners want a ceiling. The players don't want any of it. And it feels like a fight is coming that they're not going to be able to avoid. But they have to. Someone's got to be the adult in the room, right? When we talk about that's what the Giants need as a head coach, someone needs to go into that arbitration. Someone needs to walk into that room and say, fellas, things are good, and you're going to blow it because the fans aren't going to tolerate it, man. There's other things to do. We all got practice in 2020 on figuring out how to live without sports. Right? Do not become, you do not want baseball to be working at the office, because that's what we all got used to working from home. We all got used to Zoom meetings. And now that's almost still what happens at an alarming rate. You do not want people getting used to the idea that they can live without baseball. You've got to find a way. That's what this deal screams to me. You got Netflix wanting to get in on baseball. You got ESPN, after telling them to go stick it, getting back into baseball. You got NBC, after damn near 20 years, haven't done baseball, back into baseball. Like, figure out a way to make this work. Can't have billionaires fighting with millionaires on how to split the pot, man. The fan base isn't going to tolerate it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Heartache. Getting a little bit better. Yeah, I had a rough week with the throat.
You sit there with your heartache, waiting on some beautiful.
I think it was earlier in this week, I had one of the worst singing performances to open up the show ever. And it's funny because I did a little bit of Creedence Clearwater Revival. Heard it through the grapevine on Saturday, which went extremely well, I thought. As I told the story of my favorite thing that ever happened to me at a baseball game ever, which I've told the story. I'll tell it again just real quick because I've mentioned it now, but John Fogerty, and this is what made me ended up singing. This is why I ended up singing Creedence Clearwater Revival, because I was talking about this. Opening day, 2009, first game at Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium. I was sitting in the right field stands in the short porch. And, you know, in the back section, under the underhang. I wasn't right there by the wall, but I was up in that section, I think 103 or something like that. Anyway, not far from where Mitch, who hasn't called in a while, I haven't spoke to Mitch in a while, right in the same section Mitch's seats are, but Mitch is right on the wall. I was up more by the concourse, way up back. Anyway, opening day, 2009, and John Fogerty comes out and plays center field, you know, his famous baseball song. And so he's playing he gets introduced, and he's just about to start playing. And me and my buddy Mike are like kind of by the aisle. And right next to me, the hot dog vendor that is standing there just shouts out at the top of his lungs. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He just shouts out, "Good Lord, it's Fogerty!" And he takes off his hot dog, like, because they wear it around their necks. I don't know if they even still have these guys anymore. I have to admit, I get the bougie seats from the Yankees. They have the bougie seats from the station now most of the time I go. So they have more of like the Uber Eats where you order it to you. I don't see a lot of hot dog vendors anymore. But he had the whole hot dog machine, the dirty water dogs, everything around him, around his neck. He takes it off of his neck. He puts it on the ground and he runs to the wall and leaves it right there. Just put the, "Good Lord, it's Fogerty!" And he took off the hot dog vending thing around his neck, laid it on the floor, and sprinted down the stairs to get to the wall to have a better view of John Fogerty, and just left the hot dogs there. And I know what you're thinking. No, I didn't have any. But I'll never forget that. And me and my buddy Mike, still to this day, like if I haven't spoken to him in a few weeks or something, he was actually at Disney this week with his wife and daughter. But if I don't speak to him in a while or we haven't talked, every once in a while, I'll either send or I'll just like see on my phone, it'll be a text from him. It'll just say, "Good Lord, it's Fogerty." We laugh about that all the time because he screamed it.
I don't know why, but the way you told it, yeah, the person I pictured in my head doing it, yeah, was Chris Farley.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. "Good Lord, it's Fogerty." If I had to say, if in my memory, if I could say he looked like anyone we know, it's actually probably Peter Schwartz. That's kind of what he looked like. He was not quite as big as Peter. He was tall, and he had like curly hair, like coming out of his. He was wearing a hat, and it was like kind of curly hair coming out of his hat a little bit. But yeah, that was good. Lord, it's Fogarty, and he just booked it. And left the hot dogs behind so he can get a better look at John Fogarty. I'll never forget that. That's so funny. Good Lord, it's Fogarty. 888-808-1019. We're talking about what Sean wants to talk about as well, the next Giants head coach. And I'll take call, and then I'll take call. I'll take Sean, and then we'll talk about, you know who my guy is, right? And it's not Mike McCarthy, despite the one video where I was reacting to the names from Jay Glazer. I do think Mike McCarthy is as good a candidate as almost any other that has been out there. But for me, it's Mike McCarthy. And I was rooting for them at the start of the year. I am an Aaron Rodgers guy. But he's got a broken bone in his wrist. It's his non-throwing wrist, I know. And we'll see, it's a safety issue if he can brace himself or whatever. And we've seen last year, his inability to deal with injuries. Now, this isn't a leg. It's not a knee. It's not a hamstring. It's not an ankle. It's not in his throwing arm. It's his left wrist. I get it, but it is broken. I am the biggest Bears fan in the world this week. Please, let this fall apart for the Steelers. I'm rooting. Sorry, Jet fans. Normally, I root for you. I am rooting for the Ravens. I am rooting for the Bears. I am rooting for this Steelers thing to fall apart and to see if there is any way Mike Tomlin becomes available as the next head coach for the New York Giants. But let's see what Sean in Long Island has to say on the subject. What's up, Sean?
Hey, T-Mac. Appreciate you taking the call.
You got it, buddy.
So one of the touch on, next Giants head coach, obviously. But, mm-hmm. as a big dark guy, looking at Gruden or Lane Kiffin potentially, two candidates, so just seeing Gruden with Dart on the little interviews he's had on Barstool is obviously pretty cool, but Lane Kiffin, any connection to Dart, I think would be a pretty good option for us. But
well, I don't really
a lot
think
of these big names, but
I don't think. And thank you for the call. I don't think that Gruden has a real connection to Dart, other than they spent an afternoon in a room together. I mean, I don't know, like, if that's really a connection to Dart. Lane Kiffin obviously has a connection to Dart. Jay Glazer reported that they don't believe in going to the college coaching route now. Lane Kiffin technically was an NFL head coach before he was a college head. I believe he was an NFL head coach before he was a college head coach. He might have worked in college, but I think his first head coaching job was with the Raiders. I mean, he was a young man, so I would imagine it was. I'm pretty sure. But they said they're not going the coaching route. Because I knew he was in college. I wasn't sure he was the head coach in college. He was an assistant at Fresno, GA at Colorado State, D coordinator in. Then he moved to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, he's back at tennis USC for a tight end coach, USC wide receiver coach, USC OC wide receiver coach before going and being the head coach of the Raiders. So I would still consider him a college coach, and the only reason why I bring that up is because when people say, well, Harbaugh, I mean, college, NFL, he's just a coach. Like, he started in college with his head coaching in San Diego and then to Stanford, and then he moved to San Francisco. But Lane Kiffin does have some NFL experience as a head coach, so I don't know if he's viewed as just a college coach, but that's what he's doing now. That's where he spent most of his life. I mean, after the Raiders, he went to Tennessee, USC, back to Alabama, Florida Atlantic, and now Ole Miss. So he's been a college coach for 99% of his life outside of the 1 year where the Raiders gave him a chance.
I don't know. I don't think I want Lane Kiffin. He wouldn't be my guy. I do like the connection to the quarterback. You know how I feel about that. I would be a hypocrite if I just dismiss Lane Kiffin off the bat, because I've talked so much about having chemistry and a relationship between the coach and the quarterback. He's a failed one-time NFL head coach. It was, almost 20 years ago. He's had coaching experience since then. He's doing a good job at Ole Miss. I can't just dismiss it. I don't like it, but I can't just dismiss it, although it sounds like the Giants are. And then as far as John Gruden, I've said this a bunch, and I think John Gruden was a good head coach in the NFL. I don't think he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. It was a quarter century ago. Like he won that Super Bowl 22 years ago. And he was out of the NFL forever. He came back with the Raiders. It didn't work out. He left in disgrace. Whether you agree with the disgrace or not or whatever, I don't really care. He left in disgrace. And now because he, you know, has a quarterback show and he makes us all laugh, I think he does a great job for Barstool. Absolutely. I think he's very entertaining. I don't know why I would want to go back to that well. I don't see John Gruden at all, and I certainly don't think he's got a connection to Jackson Dart, because people seem to think, like, him and Jackson Dart, again, watch all of the clips. There's the clip that famously that everybody's playing about him getting after him, about not getting down and, you know, pretty much predicting exactly the dilemma that Brian Daboll had about him in the blue tent and everything, because it was clear as day if he was going to continue to run like that, that eventually he was going to have that moment in the blue tent. And, like, outside of that, where he's trying to really urge him to run smarter, there was also things he made fun of about his cadence. He made fun of about, like, I remember Gio doing a big, I gotta see how Gio thinks about it now, the idea of Gruden being a Giants head coach, because I remember Gio, who absolutely loves John Gruden and wanted John Gruden to be the next Jets head coach, was anti-drafting Dart because of the things John Gruden said. So I don't think there's a connection between the two of them. I think it's been forever since he's been a head coach. Like, would not be my guy. Would not be my guy. Having said that, they do it, I'll have my hopes high because he is a Super Bowl winning head coach, and I do think he understands football, but I think at this point he's more of a show than he is a substance. But I want an experienced head coach. I want an offensive head coach. I want someone who is one in this league, someone who would bring a standard, someone who's worked well with quarterbacks. Like, all of that is Mike McCarthy. Like, it's hard for me not to get back to Mike McCarthy considering all the names. I know Matt Nagy is a name that I think is better than what other people think. I don't think it's a great hire. It's not someone I'd be excited about. But when you talk about coaching experience, made it to the playoffs, won with lousy quarterback play, won in a city that now has experienced some winning, but the Bears haven't won in forever. He did it with Mitch Trubisky. And he's obviously a good offensive mind who's worked under some of the best coaches in the league, namely Andy Reid. Like, I think you could do worse than Matt Nagy. I don't like Arthur Smith. I don't like defensive coordinators, especially defensive coordinators without coaching experience, without head coaching experience. So I don't know. None of these names excite me, to be honest with you. And that's why I am praying for the downfall of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am a Giants fan, and I am a whoever plays the Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I hope this thing falls apart, that they took a big swing. And Tomlin, you know Tomlin was behind bringing Aaron Rodgers here. Aaron Rodgers talked about the conversations he had with Tomlin. We all know that they were waiting for it. That's why they didn't make a move at quarterback. That's why they didn't bring back either Russ or Justin Fields. That, and because both of them are absolutely horrendous, and they were destined for New York. Amazing. Amazing! But I'm hoping this all falls apart and Aaron Rodgers can't play anymore, and it just seems like a good move out of Pittsburgh. And I absolutely would. I would be willing to trade next year's, not this upcoming draft, but I would be willing to trade next year's number one pick to bring Mike Tomlin in. I can't trade a top five pick. That I can't do. But I, assuming Mike Tomlin comes here with Jackson Dart and Neighbors and Scataboo, and the talent they have on the defensive side, I don't think there's any way in hell the Giants don't win 9-10 games with Mike Tomlin. So a 9-10 team win, a 9-10 win team, that I'm willing to trade. That the 19th pick in the draft, the 22nd pick in the draft, That I'm willing to trade. Absolutely. I would. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, good. Well, so that puts you in a little bit of a dilemma there, because at the beginning of the season, you were hoping for the success of Aaron Rodgers this season.
But, yeah, I was. Yeah, I was rooting. I was rooting. I thought they were going to be the most interesting team in the league because I thought it was going to go one way or the other. And early on, it looked like it was going the winning way. Lamar Jackson was hurt.
Going the other.
The Ravens' defense was atrocious. Yeah, I thought it'd go one way or the other. I didn't know it'd go both. So there we go.
Right. Yeah. So that.
And I was rooting for it to be successful because I was an Aaron Rodgers guy. I thought the Jets should have kept him. But now I am my Giant fandom has kicked in. I want Mike Tomlin, baby. I hope they lose every game. And I feel like I'm vindicated in the Jets anyway, now with the way Fields played. Yeah. So.
Well, that's not much of a stretch. I mean, come on, no. Let's be honest. I mean, I've been a Jet fan forever, and I knew that that's how it would turn out. Before I get to the baseball real quick, I mean, look, if they were, let's say they were to have gotten John Gruden, though, and he runs into a scenario like Pete Carroll is now with the Raiders, I mean, what's the narrative going to be? Oh, well, he was out of football for so long. I mean, you know, you almost can't win in a situation like that. But
yeah, I mean, I would hope that Jackson Dart plays better than Geno Smith. I think Geno Smith early on, especially.
Geno Smith
was just awful.
Yeah. So this thing with I asked Fleeks if you spoke about it. He said you did with the deal that Netflix made with baseball.
Yes.
I mean. I know that they're all doing it, you know, all the streaming services grabbing whatever they can on it, but I just find it interesting that, I mean, what a strange group of games, though, to get. I mean, the opening night I can understand, certainly, but then the next one is the home run derby and then the Field of Dreams game. I mean, you would have thought I don't know if there's more involved in that package, but, I mean, she was very spread out.
Not for Netflix. And their Netflix, again, it was a deal they signed with ESPN, NBC, and Netflix. And the Netflix, apparently, for those three games or those three events, opening night, which again, this year is Yankees and Giants, out in San Francisco. So opening night, home run derby, Field of Dreams game, Netflix is paying $50 million for those three events.
That's crazy. Do we know who's playing the Field of Dreams game?
I saw Philadelphia. Is it Philly's Twins? Yeah, to me, this would be, and I think it needs to be the White Sox every year. I think it should be rotating teams playing the White Sox.
Almost like the Thanksgiving game.
Yes, you know, I don't think it is. I saw Philly 100%. I think it should just be the White Sox every year. I know the White Sox aren't very good right now, and so baseball, you know, it's not like having the Yankees every year, the Dodgers every year, even the Mets or the Red Sox are a big market, although Chicago's a big market, or even the Cubs, right? That would probably entice baseball more. But, I mean, the Field of Dreams games is about Shoeless Joe Jackson. It's about the Black Sox. That it should absolutely be the White Sox versus somebody different every year.
Right, and Kevin Costner
it's twin,
should
and this year it's
year.
This year it's Twins and Phillies.
Okay.
So,
and real quick on the you mentioned the Pirates. I'm actually not surprised at all at this notion that they might start looking to get throw some money out there because maybe they realize that their manipulation of the luxury tax that they've been keeping for themselves might be nearing an end. So maybe they got to maybe they're starting to throw the idea out there that we're not going to be able to do what we did before, so let's see if we can start attracting players over to us, knowing that there might be a floor and who knows about a cap or anything like that.
I get it. I mean, they could just start next year. I guess the free agency pool.
Yep.
They figure they get Schwarber for this year, and he's part of this thing. They appease the young starting pitcher in Skeens, who isn't happy there. And Skeens shot down the report that he's telling everybody he wants to be a Yankee, but he can't exactly.
But he's probably just trying to be politically correct.
He can't exactly say, "Oh yeah, I want to be a Yankee." I'm telling everybody. So I get that.
Right.
But a lot of things would have to happen. Obviously, doesn't he wanting it doesn't make it so. But I guess that makes sense. Like, yeah, if they're going to have to build up payroll next year, it's easy to have at least one big time contract on the payroll already. And Schwarber is someone who would bring some excitement this year and sell some tickets this year and hit some home runs for sure. They could just do it next year. I mean, you could, once they have the payroll, once you have the issue, you could just build the team next year. I just, it's not that I don't understand it. It's just, I'm not sure what to make of it. Like, I don't know. Like, what level are they going to do this? What level are they actually going to compete? Is Schwarber, is anyone going to want to go there right now? Can you convince, now look, if they blow someone out of the water, but Schwarber's going to have a good market. Like, people are going to want to bring, his locker room presence apparently is through the is just incredible. He's a great clubhouse guy. And there are other teams who need power. The Red Sox need power, and he's played for the Red Sox already. The Red Sox need power. You know, Seattle could use some power. I know now that they've gotten Naylor, I would think that's probably off the table. I think there's a lot of teams that could really use a Kyle Schwarber. I think if the Mets lose Pete Alonso, you could see them getting Kyle Schwarber. Does he want to go and lose in Pittsburgh? I just don't know. I don't know what they would have to pay him to get him there. But, yeah, I'm disappointed. I think it absolutely should be the White Sox versus rotating teams. I wouldn't even mind if it's just the White Sox versus Cincinnati every year. And now that they play every team every year, I wouldn't mind just every year it's Cincinnati and the White Sox. That was the World Series matchup with the Black Sox. Like, I think it would be cool. Now, I know it's called the Field of Dreams game, and, you know, the Reds don't necessarily have a connection to the Field of Dreams, but the connection is the Black Sox, and they threw the World Series against the Cincinnati Reds. And I know it's kind of would be pseudo-promoting one of the darkest days in MLB history and one of the darkest scandals in MLB history, but at this point, it's a story. At this point, it doesn't even matter. I know there's enough in the news right now with throwing games and throwing bad pitches that you probably don't want to associate it with that. But I think it would be kind of cool if it would be Reds-White Sox every year. I have no problem with that.
But with the Twins, you get to, you know, come see a team that traded almost half of its major league roster at the trade deadline last year.
And is trading
one of its two aces in the offseason.
Is getting ready to trade their best starting pitcher now. Oh, I know.
Field of Dreams. Come watch minor leaguers try to achieve their dreams playing against a World Series contender in the Phillies.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I know. The Twins, man. The Twins. God bless them. You got to love the Twins. If you're a Yankee fan, you got to love the Twins.
They want them to try a little bit harder so you can get the buy in the postseason.
Well, that's a good point. Exactly right. They got to be a little bit better. They got to make it.
Can't completely bottom out.
I want to see them in the. I want to see them in the ALDS, of course. Get me a play American playoffs that has Cleveland and Minnesota in it. Let's go. Let's go. 888-808-1019. Yeah, the Giants coaching search, it's on the back burner right now, and I'm glad to hear my guy Evan is kind of in my corner. I think the best case scenario still, now, week one didn't do anything for me either way necessarily, and I know he's dealing with stuff right now and dealing with Abdul Carter, and now people think that he's lost, you know, they've lost control of the team because of the WWE. Like, I don't really put that on the Giants. I know a lot of people put that on the Giants, that the Giants need to clean house because they couldn't stop. Like, these are young men. They can go do whatever they want. You can't control what they do outside your building, or like, if that's just like, they went to a WWE show, they went to a concert, they went to a game. You can't stop them. I think it's more on the players to recognize. Like, maybe you could say to guys, hey, look, right now we're dealing with stuff, and especially you guys, you know, you're dealing with a major injury. Let's be careful about where you are and how public you are. And Abdul, like, you know, we just had to punish you. Everyone knows that you missed a walkthrough. Like, maybe lay low for a while. But you can't force them. They're grown men. To me, that's on them. They need to recognize that it's going to be a distraction. They're going to have to answer questions. They're going to have to push back on You know, they're going to have to call out BT on Twitter. Like, I mean, you know, like, just cut it out. But I think still, as I think the best case scenario is Mike Kafka proves that he could be the head coach. I'm open to that. I'm still open to that because none of the names excite me all that much. I still want to coach with some experience. Technically, he'll have it at the end of the year. He's got a relationship with the quarterback. Let's see how him and Jackson Dart work together. Like, say they go out there and beat the Lions. I know it's highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. But say they go out there and beat the Lions and Jackson Dart looks great. You're not going to give Mike Kafka a huge, wow, the dude just went on the road and beat the Lions? Went through all the BS, all the stories, all the nonsense, all the leaks. That fat guy yelling at 2 a.m. about it. Like, made it through all of that. BT calling him out publicly, having to address it. They made it through all of that, the Schefter story, all of it. And they go out and beat one of the best teams in the NFC. Now, again, do I expect it? No. But if it happens, Mike Kafka can start building a case where he should be the next head coach. And I don't think that should have anything to do with Joe Shane. I don't think that should have anything to do with Joe Shane. Outside of winning helps Joe Shane. I mean, that's the only thing that helps Joe Shane. I don't think Mike Kafka winning should help Joe Shane. But there's no doubt winning is going to help him. I think he should be gone no matter how many games they win. But if they start to win games, you know, it's going to justify Joe Shane. So if it depends on how you feel. Do you feel that it's more important to lose games to get rid of Joe Shane, or it's more important to win games with this young quarterback, build something, and maybe see if you found your next head coach? I think that would be best case scenario for the Giants is Jackson Dart continues to play great. They find a way to win some games. Mike Kafka makes good decisions, good clock management, good game calling, win a couple of games you don't expect. Again, he's right there with Jameis Winston to beat the Green Bay Packers. Now, the Packers haven't played all that well. They dropped a ton of passes and interceptions. And that game probably shouldn't have been as close as it was, but it was. It was a one-score game. They had a one-point lead in the fourth quarter. If they find a way to win some games here down the stretch, I think Mike Kafka can make a case to keep this job. I really do. I really do. Unless, of course, there is the Mike Tomlin. Or unless, of course, somehow the situation around Bill Belichick changes. Or, you know, unless some obvious, you know, it doesn't work with Tomlin in Pittsburgh, or it doesn't work with Harbaugh in Baltimore anymore. Whatever the case. Like some slam dunk, can't deny it, great proven head coach wants to come coach Jackson Dart, then that changes things. But outside of that, Mike McCarthy, Matt Nagy, my other kind of, I always thought going into the process, Cliff Kingsbury, haven't heard much about him. But that would have been a guy I would have looked to targeted with previous head coaching experience and a guy who really made it work with Washington, although this year, a lot of it's because of the injury to Daniels, but this year it's not gone as well for him, but I think Cliff Kingsbury's a guy. Like, but those, even those names, Steve Spagnuolo, you know, Jesse Minter's, like, these aren't the names that excite me all that much. If Mike Kafka can find a way to really impress here down the stretch and win some games, I am more than open to Mike Kafka being the next head coach of the Giants. And again, I say this, and it's significant to me. The last 2 years, the Giants have been awful, and particularly offensively. Dreadful. And Mike Kafka wasn't even calling the plays last year, and yet he's a finalist for head coaching jobs in the NFL. How could an offensive coordinator whose offense is dog doo-doo, who last year didn't even call the plays, his head coach took it away from him, they won 3 games, and yet he's a finalist for a head coaching job? How did Mike Kafka continue to get these head coaching interviews, and how did he continue to be a finalist in all these jobs? With nothing. It's not like, you know, Ben Johnson, I know Ben Johnson got the job, But Ben Johnson, because the offense for the Lions was innovative and high-powered. That's why he was up for it. That's why he got jobs. Right? All the names you're hearing now, Steve Spagnuolo, or, you know, even Chris Shula with the Rams. I know McVay is the head coach and he's the offense, but the offense is doing incredibly well. They're one of the best teams in football. That offense is dynamic. Stafford's the MVP of the league. Anarumo is getting talk right now because the Colts defense is playing extremely well. Jesse Minter is getting big time talk because the Chargers defense, despite injuries and stuff, has played really well. Mike Kafka was an offensive coordinator for a lousy offense and kept getting job interviews. Someone, somewhere inside the NFL, and more than just one place, think really highly of Mike Kafka. And word around the league has to be that the dude is smart and interviews extremely well at the bare minimum to continue to get these jobs. So you add that into the idea that he might actually do a pretty competent job in what is without question an impossible spot. Next year, enticing job. Next year, second year with this great quarterback, assuming he plays well down the stretch and remains healthy. So you've got Jackson Dart, you've got Malik Nabers, you've got Cam Scataboo. You've got a defense that has names in it. Second year of Abdul Carter, hopefully another top five pick. Like, there's reasons why this job is enticing at the end of the season, but right now it's an absolute dumpster fire. We're talking about, Andrew Thomas is being asked questions about silent counts at home because the building is being overrun by 49er and Packer fans. This job sucks right now. If Mike Kafka steps in and does a decent enough job, and again, week one looked just like Brian Daboll, close game, hard-fought game, really well-scripted first drive that led to a touchdown. Lead, albeit small, is small with a 1-point lead in the fourth quarter. But lead in the fourth, 1-point lead in the fourth quarter. So a blown fourth quarter lead against a team that was far better than them, more than a touchdown favorite, and yet they were right there to beat them. And just enough mistakes and a lousy defense lost the game. It was almost identical to what we've seen over the last few weeks. But that was with Jameis Winston. Let's see what Mike Kafka has again. Jackson Dart and Mike Kafka, let's see what it is. Hopefully that's Sunday. Hopefully he makes it through protocol. Hopefully he's healthy enough to go, and we can get an idea of what this coach and quarterback can do. And if they make this game against the Lions competitive or amazingly enough win it, maybe you can get a different feel for this coach as opposed to some of the names that don't excite me. Alex in Lakewood. What's up, Alex?
What's up, Big Mac? First question.
Yeah.
Who do you think the Jets should draft at QB?
Who do I think the Jets should draft at QB?
Yeah.
I haven't made my mind up completely on that. I definitely think they should take one this year. That's why I want them to lose all these games. I don't know if you want to do Simpson out of Alabama. That's been more of a name that's trending over the last few weeks as opposed to Mendoza out of Indiana, who was really the hot name to start. I think those are the two names at the top right now. Others will be sprinkled in. Come time by the draft, there'll be a kid whose name skyrockets, who has a good combine and all that. And again, I'm not there yet. I'll do more work on that as we go through. I've been watching a little bit more now of college football as the week's gone through. Simpson is kind of the guy who's jumped out to me so far, but that's what scares me, is that I'm as likely to make a good decision as the Jets are. That's what scares me. And they better lose games and they better have that pick. Now, again, if the Giants fall ahead, they're not drafting a quarterback. If Tennessee right now, who's only got one win, would have the top pick, they're not drafting a quarterback. So with all the picks, the Jets might be in a unique position, because it doesn't typically happen to be able to either get the quarterback they want or move up to be able to get the quarterback they want. That is very atypical. That has not been the case over the last handful of years. And you still got teams to watch, right? You still got the Saints, who would probably draft a quarterback. You got Cleveland, who would probably still draft a quarterback. You got the right, yeah. That's an interesting. Yeah, if you're a Jet fan, you're rooting for Shador to play well. He's who's been announced as the starter this week. But you got the Saints who draft the quarterback. I think now with the ACL injury again and just his ineffectiveness, I think the Falcons could be looking to draft a quarterback. They've only got 3 wins. Now, they play each other this week, so that helps.
Cardinals, they don't have that pick. It goes to the Rams.
Oh, that's right. It goes to the Rams. You're right.
Who? Listen, if Stafford, they win, he decides to hang it up. McVay yeah. says, give me my next guy.
Yeah, that's not crazy. You're right. If the Rams find themselves at the top of the draft, it's not crazy. If McVay loves one of these quarterbacks, and you know Stafford, even if Stafford has another year or two, if you feel like you're ready to have your guy in waiting, absolutely.
The Packers did it with Jordan Love and Rodgers.
Absolutely. You could see the Cardinals take a quarterback now with the way they're handling Murray. So, I mean, there are teams that have 2-3 wins that would still take a quarterback. The Bengals have 3. That's an interesting one. All Burrow's back at practice. See if he's going to be ready for this week. I doubt maybe next week. Would the Bengals, if they bottomed out, be interested? I doubt it. But right now you're looking at the Giants and Tennessee for sure would not take a quarterback. Outside of that, every other team probably would be, every other team with 3 wins or less. And Washington, right. I'm sorry. I didn't see. I'm looking at the scores from last week. Coming up, I'm not seeing Washington. They're on the bye. But yeah, Washington wouldn't draft one either.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.